If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Celebrate over 100 years of steak perfection with Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide during their anniversary sale. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code CERTIFIED at OmahaSteaks.com today. They're America's original butcher, and only Omaha Steaks delivers a full lineup of extra-age steaks so tender, they're USDA certified tender. Their customer favorite filet mignon has even been elevated to USDA certified very tender. And that attention to quality doesn't just stop with steaks. We're talking beefy burgers, air-chilled chicken, premium pork, and so much more. And every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Shop now to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the anniversary sale at OmahaSteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code CERTIFIED at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, code CERTIFIED. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
The Brian Koberger trial is weeks away, and the defense strategy, if we can call it that, is coming into focus with Judge Hippler denying the last motion to stay. The clock is now officially ticking. The jury selection is set to begin August 4th. That means both sides are locking in final preparations, identifying key witnesses, and sharpening cross-examinations. But what one name keeps resurfacing, and it's not a law enforcement official, a forensic expert, or a roommate. It's the DoorDash driver, initials MM, a woman who, frankly, has seen more personal tragedy than most of us could imagine. She delivered food to one of the victims just minutes before the murders. Later, while being detained in an unrelated incident involving prescription meds, not alcohol, and I'm talking way later, she stated that she saw Brian Koberger parked near the scene that night. And that clip made its rounds fast, triggering skepticism and speculation. But here's the problem. No one outside law enforcement knows what she originally told police. Her initial interview may still be sealed, and yet some in the court of public opinion have already dismissed her credibility before she's ever taken the stand. So what is the truth here? Is she a key witness, an eyewitness, with information that could tie Koberger directly to the crime scene, or a witness whose trauma and timing will be picked apart by the defense? What happens if this DoorDash driver, like the surviving roommate Dylan Mortensen, becomes the emotional core of the case? I'm curious to get your thoughts on this as you listen or watch this. The best place to comment is YouTube. So if you're listening to us on the podcast platform, great. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. You can listen to us anywhere you are. If you want to comment, check us out on YouTube. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and be part of our conversations there on each of our videos. We have tons of content we put out there. The same stuff you hear on the podcast, but video form. And there's more of it on YouTube. We even offer a way to become a premium subscriber, and you can comment before everybody else, like days or weeks before everybody else, because you get the access to everything before everybody. That's a premium benefit on YouTube. If you want to join us there and become a premium subscriber, we do greatly appreciate that support, by the way. But it is free to comment, so please do that. We'd love to hear you. So to unpack this more, I am joined by retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer. We dig into the DoorDash witness's possible impact. What happens if her story shifted? How jurors might perceive her? And whether this trial, set to run through November, is truly as open and shut as it looks on paper. That DoorDash driver, obviously another thing, initials MM. We've now seen her talking to someone at the police station after that. She was pulled over. It was operating while intoxicated, but it was not alcohol. It was prescription medication that she was supposed to be taking. But my God, a woman who has gone through a lot. I mean, it's almost like this is one of the most unlucky people I think I've ever heard of, with the tragedy and the trauma that she's seen with her husband being shot in front of her recently before this. And now she so unluckily is the DoorDash driver in the Brian Koberger case. I get why she's a little effed up at times and why she seemed the way she did. I don't think it disqualifies her from testifying at all. I guess the big question that we have to ask right now is, did she tell the police in her initial interview that she saw Koberger and his car outside the house that night? Because I think a lot of jumping on this is that she didn't say that. But do we even know that? That could very likely still be sealed testimony that we just do not know the answer to yet. Let's start with that. Is that correct? Do we just not know the answer to that question?
That's a fact.
Okay.
We haven't seen her FD-302,
yep,
which is really actually Jenks material for that FBI agent who wrote it.
Yeah.
It's not a statement unless they write out a statement. It's not theirs. It's that officer's statement.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with that.
Yeah.
But if this was recorded, or if they had her hand write a statement, we haven't seen any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So for people to be prejudging what she did and didn't say, all I know is she absolutely said twice now, I've seen it once in the booking room and once in a vehicle,
mm-hmm,
that she feels so bad, I think, because she doesn't want to be discredited, because she knows she's an important witness,
mm-hmm,
in the Brian Koberger case, the case against him. And, I really feel for this woman from the standpoint of her understanding the gravity of what her information is.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me think she did give that specificity early on. But again, did she say she saw bushy eyebrows? Did she just generally describe him? Does she say after she saw a photo, she knew that that was Brian Koberger? Was she able to identify him in a photo array? We just really don't know those details. And for online people to speculate that she's a terrible witness and never said something and now is going to say something, I think is just outfield. Not correct to do.
Yeah, I mean, now that I think the understanding is that we just don't know. We do not know what she said. What I've been doing in my mind is like kind of taking it both roads. Like, okay, so if she did say it, everything's good, because then that's on record. It's going to come out, and then it pretty much negates her issues where she was under the influence of something, and in that video that we all saw. If she said this early on, it's there. It's on record. If she didn't say it early on and it's on record, that does pose a problem, though. If suddenly this is something she's just saying later, for whatever reason that may be, that could be a difficult thing in front of a jury if this is after the fact. Would it not be?
Well, a difficult thing. So, you know, could it be a difficult thing? Yes, to a degree. But again, it depends on if that police officer wrote a statement or if she gave a statement. So, Tony, let's go with she was interviewed by the FBI and the FBI wrote an FD-302 to document what she said. And if in that FD-302, it doesn't specifically state that she said it was Brian Koberger, that's their statement. Mm-hmm. So she could say, I failed to mention it. I didn't realize until I saw pictures of him actually in the car later that that was him. That's how he looked in there. There could be a lot of different, things she could say. But I agree with you that the credibility in a juror's eyes may start to wane if her story changed.
But they would have had to have asked her, would they have not? Did you see anybody at that scene? Did you see anyone near, in a car, anywhere? I mean, I can't imagine that wouldn't have been a question that was posed to her at that moment in time.
No, I agree, Tony. It would have been posed to her, but you can imagine how early on this is. This is the next morning. Yeah. So the gravity certainly was known that there were four deceased individuals. But nobody knew the name Brian Koberger.
No.
Nobody knew what he looked like when she was originally interviewed. Nobody knew anything. So really, they were looking to jumpstart their investigation as to what car she might have seen, really, from this DoorDash driver. Mm-hmm. And Dylan and Bethany, those were their kind of starting points. So could she have said something like, yeah, I saw a white car, maybe not even able to describe it in detail.
Sure.
Yeah, there was a guy in there. I only saw one in there. So I could see her initial statements being really skeletal. And then later, when he was identified, perhaps being shown in a photo array or trying to compare with her original description. I mean, if she looked over at the car and said she saw a girl in there, that could be a problem, right, Tony?
Yeah,
but if she gave a scant description that loosely follows or is Koberger-like, I think she could be a really good witness.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think she could. It's just all is going to depend on what was said. And I've heard other DoorDash drivers weigh in on this over the last, several years now. And it's funny, I hear a mix of their perceptions, because I think it is kind of a personal thing. You have some DoorDash drivers that are saying, look, when we go and deliver something, we are looking around our car, we're looking around the property we're going to, because we want to make sure we're safe. Cool. I know that's probably the way one should be if you're delivering DoorDash to random homes you don't know about. And I've heard others going, look, we just get out of the car real quick. We drop it off. We get out of there. We try to get another delivery. We're not paying attention to anything. So it's very much, I think, probably a personal mindset of what one would be, or how one would be approaching the situation if you're a DoorDash driver.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, one thing we also don't know, many DoorDash drivers, did I say that right?
Yes.
They take a picture of the food that they place.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's going to be critical too. Did she take a photo?
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to give us a great timeline if indeed she says, okay, I dropped it, I turned around and a white car pulled up.
Yeah.
Or I dropped it and was leaving and I passed a white car. All of that, I mean, if she took a photo, and we don't know.
Yeah.
But they often do, Tony.
They do. I'm just wondering, was it standard practice at that time? Because we're talking 3 years ago, too. And I'm trying to wonder in my mind when that became standard practice. Because I want to say that was within the last 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, look, my son was a DoorDash driver in college for large parts. So obviously, I've talked to him about this.
Sure. Yeah.
And I mean, when you're a guy, it's, I think, a little bit of a different perspective. It certainly depended on the time of day and exactly the neighborhood you were dropping at. But I could tell you, he was snapping those photos, and that would have been, you know, back in about right around this time frame, 2021, 22. I know Idaho was 22, but he was doing it in 21, okay, sure. 22.
Well, if he was snapping in 21, then I guess they were snapping by that time. So, I mean, that will be an interesting point to this, to see what, wouldn't that be fascinating if the DoorDash shot of the food somehow catches something. Somehow the Jack in the Box is the thing that wins the day. We're obviously getting very close to the trial starting here. We're literally at this point now weeks away from the jury selection beginning. Obviously, the defense had wanted to stay. The judge denied that motion, saying we are going forward here. Jury selection starting August 4th. Obviously, in the interest of not having any sort of appellate issues, the judge seems to be pretty straightforward and confident that we're good on this. Do you think both sides have had enough time to prepare, and should they be going on August 4th?
Well, you know, the first go around, I said there is no way. Yep. And this go around, I've said, wow, very surprised. I was waiting for his actual written response, mm-hmm. because he's been saying throughout these court, you know, proceedings that guys better be ready. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been intimating that we're going to go, and sure enough, he's going to go. I still remain a bit surprised. I thought there would be one more continuance. Not that I want one more mm-hmm. continuance. I love the backbone of this judge.
Yeah.
This judge saying, listen, this has been almost 3 years. Let's get justice for these kids. This has just gone on too long. You've had every delay that is imaginable, and we're going to move forward. But I really thought she would get one more just toward, you know, maybe the end of the year, you know, a few months delay. But we're starting now. It's actually kind of shortened, right? We have jury selection now on the 4th mm-hmm. of August, trial starting the 18th. But believe me, when you say the 4th, now it's ramped up ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have it on the 11th. You really, that's what I consider when I hear trial starting. It starts with Verdeer. And wow, we're starting early. They've got so much to do to prepare for that. You know, any good attorney and any FBI agent will tell you the trial is decided on when you choose that jury.
Sure.
That's the most important stage of any trial.
They're saying that this could go all the way into mid to late November, with starting in August. I'm curious about that. August, September, October, that's 4 months. Do you think we're going to see it go that long, considering the defense doesn't have a lot, honestly? I mean, obviously they got some stuff they're going to try and bring. Like you said, they have some things up their sleeves, but I don't know. It feels like that's a long chunk of time for, I don't know, feel like the prosecution can get through their stuff in a, I don't know, handful of weeks. Is it going to go all the way to November? Or is this going to be a shorter one than you think?
I think it's going to be long, Tony. And, yeah. and a lot of that is based on Ann Taylor herself. Mm-hmm. I see her processes. I can only imagine how elongated these cross examinations are going to be. I see motions coming up in the middle of trial. I see a lot of things that are going to make this trial really, really long. I also think that the prosecution is going to want to put on everyone to prove their case. They're not going to want to hold any witnesses back. They mm-hmm. need to put on everything. And the defense is going to have some good defense rebuttal witnesses, I believe.
Jennifer Coffendaffer, they're helping us peel back the layers of one of the most misunderstood witnesses in the Koberger case, the DoorDash driver. If you're still thinking of her as just the person who dropped off food, you're missing the bigger picture. As Jennifer laid out, this woman, M.M., might carry more narrative weight than we expect. If her initial statement included seeing Koberger or his vehicle at the scene that night, it could reinforce the prosecution's timeline in a powerful way. But if that detail wasn't included until later, or worse, only surfaced under stress during an unrelated arrest, it opens the door to questions about memory, timing, and credibility. in a trial this emotionally loaded, that kind of ambiguity matters a lot. It's a reminder that witness testimony isn't just about facts, it's about perception. It's about how jurors absorb behavior, trauma, tone, and context. It's about how the defense will exploit any inconsistency, no matter how human or understandable it may be. The conversation also reinforced something else. This trial is not going to be short, simple, or surgical. Jennifer made it clear. Between the scope of witnesses, the strategy of the defense, and the sheer number of motions and rebuttals we're likely to see mid-trial, this thing could stretch deep into November. And based on what we've seen from Ann Taylor so far, she's going to challenge everything. The car data, the cell data, the roommate's testimony, the DoorDash driver's story, you name it. If you're expecting a clean timeline and a quick resolution, buckle up. This strategy isn't just about the verdict anymore. It's about the long game. And as always, we'll be here to follow every pivot, every witness, and every new move in this case. Tell me what your thoughts are on this in the comments section on YouTube. Please go check that out right there. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi wherever are on YouTube. And wherever you're listening to the podcast, hit subscribe as well so you don't miss any of our coverage on this case or the many cases we cover for you right here at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.